We are in a series that is called I Do, and we're saying that it's related to before you say I do, even after you say I do, and even if you never say I do. We think there's something in here for you. And we're talking about what you need to know and why you need to know it, why it matters, these topics of marriage, even if you're single. Now, as we're teaching through this series, Cole and I want to remind you every week that we are not the experts in this, but we are doing the best that we can to teach you what a mentor has taught us. And so we're really passing on to you expert information and perspective from someone who really is an expert. Now, last week we talked about having a toolbox that God provides us in relationships, and specifically through this series, talking about a toolbox for a relationship called marriage. And inside that toolbox, we talked about two superpowers that God has given us. And one of those superpowers is truth, and the other superpower is love. So God has given us two superpowers, two super tools to use inside of a relationship, inside of this thing called marriage. And honestly, the truth is really you can use this in every relationship in your life. But the power of truth inside of a marriage gives you the ability to show who you really are, to be truthful about who you really are. Wow. The power of love inside of a marriage helps you. God gives us this ability to really reprogram your self-image, to redeem your past, to heal some of your deepest hurts. This is all, I believe, all part of God's design. And last week, we talked about those two superpowers, those two super tools that God gives us in this toolbox. And we talked about that knowing there's a third tool. And this third tool really is important to the first two. So last week, we really only gave you partial information, because without this third superpower, something is really missing with the first two tools. Now, Vanessa, she's not here. She's already at the wedding. Well, the wedding hasn't begun. She's at all the preparatory things. But I can tell you, Vanessa knows my sins. She knows where I blow it in this life and how I blow it in this life. And she knows how often I blow it and to what extent I blow it in this life. And here's why. Because so often I blow it in her general direction. Not only because I'm a man, but because I just do. I just have a tendency to do things wrong and mess things up. Now, a good number of the things I do that are called sin are often committed against her. My impatience, often towards her, right? I'm human. My hard-heartedness against her. My selfishness away from her. I snap back. I say harsh things. Sometimes I even choose what I want without even considering her at all. Am I alone here? Am I the only one that this is true of in their life? I hope I'm not alone here. I mean, it would probably be better for you if I were alone here, but it's kind of a human condition. That one person that God has placed in my life who has this superpower for me, this superpower of love that he has given her towards me, this superpower of truth that he has given her towards me, that one person who holds my heart in this marriage is the very person I tend to hurt more deeply with my sin than anyone else in my life. And when that happens to you, if someone is sinning against you, if someone is hurting you, it's tough. It's tough to not react by responding in our old selves, that old person, that old Harley, that old you. When the one whom we care for the most in human relationships hurts us, we have a tendency to enter this harmful cycle. And that hurt naturally causes us to have maybe a response where we withhold love, or where it might naturally cause us to use this superpower of truth that we talked about last week, but we use it in a harmful way. That would be truth without love. Unchecked truth can be deadly to a marriage. Or sometimes the hurt that inevitably happens in a marriage, in that relationship, it could cause that person to stop telling the truth altogether. They just stop telling the truth. They just stuff those things down, stuff them down. They overlook things, and then that becomes love without truth. And these are natural human responses, and we see them all the time in marriage. But truth and love, according to what we read in Ephesians last week, cannot be separated. And so this morning we're going to add that third superpower, that third super tool to the toolbox. So we have truth, we talked about last week, we have love, and the way Paul recorded that was truth in love. And this morning we're going to add this third superpower, this super tool that God gives us in marriage, and it is called grace. And these three super tools, superpowers work together. When used properly, they remain together. And each of those things, when used together, can help make us into the person that God wants us to be. And I believe it is all by His design. An amazing thing about this superpower of grace, as we are going to be talking about that today, grace seems to weld together truth and love. Without grace, truth and love can become a major issue, because let's describe kind of what can happen. It's grace that allows us to feel so loved by a spouse that when they do give us truth and they criticize something in our life, because of grace, we have the security that we can then admit our faults and our sins. Because of that grace, we can now face who we really are, the truth about who we really are. And we can face that kind of warts and all, and we can continue in that relationship to grow together. Now, that's what should happen. But because we're human, often that doesn't happen. Here's what happens so often in marriage. When we see their flaws, when you see the flaws of your spouse, we have a tendency to get angry about their flaws and the way they're impacting us. And we get selfish, and we have a tendency to get controlling with them, to the point where we want to point out all of those flaws. But when they begin to point out our flaws, we get even more angry, right? We deny, we get angry, and we think, how dare they? So don't miss this. This is a big part of where we're going as we hit the scripture about this in just a moment. Without today's superpower, it is impossible to use truth in a loving way. And it is impossible to keep truth and love together. And truth without love destroys what God is trying to do as He is merging two lives together. so that two who are supposed to be one, they become two again. In just a moment, I'm going to be doing a ceremony for this wedding where we describe two becoming one flesh. But when love and truth are not welded together by grace, eventually those two who became one flesh become two again. Love without truth, because sometimes we can have truth without love, but there's another thing called love without truth. And love without truth on the outside gives the facade of two lives merged together, but it's kind of just a facade. It's kind of a fake oneness. And there's no health there as well. So this third superpower that we're going to be talking about of grace, it's what holds together. It's what makes love and truth weld together as God designed it to be. Because grace is the only thing that can allow us to pull out more tools out of this toolbox that we're going to talk about today. And here's the two words we're going to be focusing on because of grace. These two words, forgiveness and repentance, and they require the superpower of grace. Truth in love and the grace to forgive, which leads to repentance. Because truth and grace, truth and love can only be kept together when you and your spouse become really good at forgiving and repenting. Sometimes in our minds, when we think about conflict there in life, our minds quickly go to Matthew chapter 18. We're not going to go there today, because I believe that before we go to Matthew chapter 18, which talks about how to confront people, so there's a lot of truth there, which it is true. Before we confront, we first must follow the teachings of Mark chapter 11, verse 25. And here's what that says. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against. But this morning, my fellow humans, that is not what we naturally do. That's not what we naturally do. No. We desire to confront them first. Because we have this feeling that only if we confront them first can they then recognize that they need to ask our forgiveness, that they need to repent first. But I feel like that Jesus is telling us, no. First, you forgive. Usually our method of confrontation is we want to make sure they understand how they've blown it. I can't forgive them. I need to blown it, and besides how they have hurt me, how they have wounded me, how they have blown it, and besides, because of what they did and because of what they said, I know how it made me feel, and they need to feel bad for making me feel bad. And so we have a tendency to want to use that confrontational truth to kind of pay them back somewhat, to kind of make them hurt somewhat, to make them feel certain things about what they did because of the way they made us feel. And at the core, that's just a form of revenge. They made us feel bad. I want them to feel bad for making me feel bad. Ultimately, it's saying, we just need to get even here. And in a marriage, that eventually will kill the marriage. Because in that instance, that confrontation, we are using truth as a weapon. We are weaponizing what God intended for growth. And so the superpower of truth in that moment is no longer really for their good. It's a weapon we use for some kind of revenge that we need. And that's the opposite of how God defines love and the opposite of what God gives us in the fruit of the Spirit. And so we can clearly say this perspective of using truth in that way is broken, because that is actually truth destroying love. The opposite of what we talked about last week, where Paul says that we use truth in love, which is why we must always be reminded that marriage, as we talked about just a moment ago, is a picture of Christ and his bride. So remember where we started with week number one of this series. We said that Paul tells us in Ephesians, he says that there is a secret in marriage, and the secret of marriage, he tells us, is found in the gospel. And since the message of the gospel says that we survive in this life and into the next only by the forgiving grace of God. And so if the secret of marriage is found in the gospel, as Paul tells us, so in marriage, we are to do the work of forgiving deep in our own hearts before we ever do the work of confronting them of their sin and their need for forgiveness. So when we first deal with the issue of grace-filled forgiveness, that confrontation becomes very, very different. Because now we have, as we talked about last week, truth in love wrapped very tightly in grace. Otherwise, you see the problem here, because if we don't, then the power of truth without grace, without that grace where we have forgiven them first, that truth harms instead of helps. And then we've created a cycle all over again where that person then confronts us back with something else, right? And then we confront them back about that truth with something else that we know is true of them. Or perhaps we're not confronting back and forth and we just simply withhold love, or we withdraw from that person. So without the grace of forgiveness, and then which leads to repentance, a marriage often drifts towards truth without love, or love without truth. And both of those things are marriage killers. Now, I want to be clear about something, because some of you might be thinking, okay, Harley, I hear this, that we must forgive, we're commanded to forgive, but dude, you are talking about something that really humanly can't be done. Because a lot of times we associate forgiveness, and so if I have forgiven, then that means that I can't feel any anger about this or about what's happened or about what they did or what happened to me, what they did to me. But as we talk about grace, I don't believe that we can say that grace is the absence of anger. Grace doesn't mean that when we feel that anger, that it is never expressed. In fact, I do believe there are probably some cases where telling the truth without anger means the severity of that issue won't sink in. But here's the difference. Forgiving grace must always be present. Because if it is, it keeps that anger from going rancid, from going bad. Grace keeps truth and love together because you can forgive your spouse as Christ. So we're back to the gospel and the picture of the gospel inside marriage. You can forgive your spouse like Christ has forgiven you. So we ask, but how? What does it take to gracefully keep truth and love together? And the first thing I would say that it probably takes, it takes humility. Because we forgive with humility, which is also the crux of the gospel. Sometimes we have a tendency to be very slow to forgive because we're thinking things like, you know what? I never would have done that. What they did to me, what they said to me, I would not have done that to them. And when you peel back the layers of those kind of thoughts, what you find is superiority saying, I'm really better than they are. I wouldn't have done that. And that's always the opposite of humility. Superiority can never be humble. Therefore, superiority can never forgive. Superiority destroys love, and it destroys marriage. Truth telling then just simply becomes critical, and it becomes harsh. And when that's happening, they're never going to hear it correctly because there's no love in that criticism, in that harshness. There is only self-righteousness that is under the sea, is proclaiming, but I would never do that to you. But humility is required. It is required for us to forgive someone, but it's not enough. So there's something else. Gracefully keeping truth and love together also requires a level of emotional health. So think with me just a moment. If you're unhealthy emotionally, and I have been in this point, if you're unhealthy emotionally, you will require that your spouse be happy with you all the time. You require that because you're afraid of what you will feel like if your spouse is unhappy with you. If they're if they're not okay, you're not okay. I've been in that place. Have you? If they're not okay, you're not okay. So now you can't tell them the truth. You can't explain how they have hurt you and what has happened. And if you can't do that, you can't forgive. You can't confront. So you just simply gather up and you hold on to all of that resentment and it just grows inside of you and you just try to hide it. And I can clearly say that is broken and love begins to destroy truth. Love, we think we're doing that in love. We're stuffing it down and it is love destroying truth. And to gracefully keep love and truth together, it's going to require the humility to be able to forgive and the emotional health to be able to confront. But again, that's not natural for us. In fact, as I talk about this, it might even sound impossible. Because if we're succeeding in life, sometimes we're not naturally humble because we're succeeding, right? And then people who are not succeeding in life, who feel like they have been beat down in life, they might be humble, but often they're not emotionally healthy. Which brings us all the way back around to where this journey began in May. Sometimes we require, and I would say often, we require outside help to gracefully keep truth and love together in order for our marriage to be thriving. We require, even in marriage, the gospel. In the gospel, we do not perform for God in order to make God love us. That's not the gospel. In fact, the gospel says we can't perform and be good. We can't do enough, work hard enough, be good enough for God to love us. We can't. Even if we wanted to, we cannot do that. The gospel tells us we are broken and we are so sinful that God, Jesus, God Himself, had to come and die for us. We are so messed up that God Himself had to come here as Jesus and He had to reconcile us with God. And yet, the gospel tells us, as broken as we are also so loved by God, so valued by God, that God was willing to do all of that for us. He was willing to die for us. The Creator of all loves us. And according to Scripture, He loves us a lot. So the gospel tells us that we are broken sinners who cannot fix ourselves in any way. And at the same time, we are absolutely loved by God. And when Paul says in Ephesians that the mystery, the secret of marriage is the gospel, that means that very concept is reflected in marriage too. So where do we get help to from the outside? Because it doesn't come from me. Where do we get the help from the outside to gracefully keep love and truth together? So if the gospel tells us that we can't try harder and work it up inside of ourselves, then that means we can't do that in marriage either. We can't even create something that's kind of like grace, love, and truth. We can't even create something within ourselves in this marriage that would even be similar or somewhat like or near that. The truth is, we can only reflect it after we have personally experienced that from God Himself. So we experience His grace, truth in love, His forgiveness, which leads to our repentance. We experience that, and it reflects off of His love, His truth, His grace. That forgiveness, which leads to our repentance, reflects off of our life and into the life of our spouse. It reflects off of us, from Him, off of us, into their life. It's reflected as forgiveness. And that is what keeps truth twisted tightly together with love. And that's where they belong, together. You see, as we look at the gospel and we understand the horrible torture and the death of Christ on the cross, and from the cross we see Christ forgiving those around him who were killing him. And from the cross, we understand through Scripture that he was at the same time forgiving you and forgiving me. That changes us and rearranges us from the inside. Seeing him in Scripture do that for you and for me. Knowing that he made that choice for you and for me allows you and me to make the choice to do that for our spouse. Seeing Jesus do that in Scripture gives us the humility, and our relationship with him gives us the emotional health to gracefully forgive and keep truth and love together. And I believe by God's design, marriage has the unique power to show us the truth of who we really are as broken people. And by God's design, marriage has the unique power to redeem our past, to heal our hurts through that superpower of love. And by God's design, marriage has the power to show us grace of what God did in Jesus for us. And so this is what we have been talking about in marriage. And this has been our focus as we've looked at Ephesians chapter 5. And we've said, this is God's plan for marriage. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. For husbands, this means love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. It's the gospel. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. And he did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy without fault. As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. And here's where Paul says, this is a great mystery. Another word for that, another translation of that word, this is a great secret. And it's not a secret that's saying, oh, this is something you can't know. It's a secret that is hidden from you. This means it is a secret revealed. This is a great mystery, a great secret. The great secret of marriage, but it is an illustration, he says, of the way Christ and his church are one. He says, the great secret of marriage, Paul says, is the gospel. Verse 33. So again, I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. The two are welded into one, two individuals into one. But for us to remain as one, we must gracefully keep truth and love united as one. And that grace means that we must forgive with humility and be emotionally healthy in order to do it. Because we can't do it alone. And this all comes from the power of the gospel reflecting off of our lives. It comes from Him reflecting off of our lives and into the life of our spouse, and it looks like forgiveness. I believe that is why just a handful of verses before this famous passage on marriage, a handful of verses before this, Paul wrote this, Ephesians 4, verse 32. He says, instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. The gospel brings these three super tools, these super powers that we need and are really required to use in marriage, where they must all be tightly wrapped, twisted together, if we're to remain tightly twisted together into one flesh. Truth, love, and this week, grace. And that grace looks like forgiveness. So where we started this morning, when that forgiveness is offered, it leads us towards repentance. Do you want a great marriage? I hope you understand we can't do it alone. We can't do it with truth alone. We can't do it with love alone. We need all three. And where do we find the best example of truth and love, all wrapped up with grace, the grace of forgiveness, twisting truth, grace, and love all in action? We find that in the good news of Christ, the gospel. Paul says the secret of marriage is found in the gospel. Let's pray.